Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I got an interesting teaching topic for you today. I thought it would be a good idea. I recently had a situation come up where I dealt with somebody who was witnessing to Muslims and kind of critiqued how he did. I want to talk today about how to witness to Muslims. Now, as a street preacher, I don't really encounter very many Muslims in America, to be honest with you. We don't go into a lot of big cities. We tend to stay in medium-sized cities, and we do a lot of events in smaller cities, and it's just the pattern of what we do. And so we don't run into a lot of Muslims, but I have witnessed to some Muslims. And so I wanted to talk about how it can best be done, in my experience, some tips, some pointers, how it can be done most effectively. Then you can test it and then adjust it and see if it works for you. Romans 10:14-15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I like that verse. That's a street preacher's verse right there. And so it's good that we go and take the gospel. But how do we do it to Muslims? Well, let's talk about that. I'm going to give you some tips. Here's the main point you're going to come away with. Who is Jesus? That is the real situation you want to get to with a Muslim. We'll get to that. Who is Jesus? One of the problems you have with people is not preaching biblical gospel or a false gospel, and not being solid in their theology. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So it's talking about a false gospel here. Yeah, the Muslims have a false gospel because they have a false Jesus. And many people, even churchianity people in America, preach a false Jesus. So it's very important that we get this right and we're preaching the biblical gospel and the true risen Savior. Now, talking about Muslims, I really need to bring this point up. There's a lot of confusion these days about strange mystic experiences happening with Muslims all over the country and out in Muslim-dominated countries, where they're saying Jesus is appearing to them in visions, they're having dreams, and so many of them are coming to faith by these dreams and these visions. I've read so many of these accounts, I've tested them. I'm just going to tell you without going great detail here, I reject this because basically it's not biblical, and I've never seen a biblical person that came to faith this way that has the fruit of a biblical child of God. They usually end up being in false worldly churchianity, or they end up in some strange cult. So I really question if it's of the Father at all. I have articles on dreams and visions at our teaching blog from don'tperish.com. You can check those out. I go into that more in detail there. And you have unbiblical men like the deceased, I think his name is Nabil Qureshi. He was a man that was a Muslim and he came to Christ through dreams and visions. He's propagated many false ways and it has led many people astray in how to witness to Muslims. I don't think we need to be focusing on dreams and visions. What do? We obey the Bible. What does the Bible tell us to do? Preach the gospel, make disciples, and teach them to obey everything he commanded. That's what we need to be focusing on, not dreams and visions. You can look up that testing on Nabil Qureshi. Either Google his name exposed, my testing comes up, or go to my unbiblical teachers blog from don'tperish.com and you'll find it. So moving on, I'm going to offer you some tips, some keys, and what I find might help you when it comes to witnessing to Muslims. Let's get to it. Number one, first of all, like we talked about, make sure that you understand the biblical gospel and you're born of God, of course, and you live a holy set apart life to start out. You know, I see so many people that either just first come to Christ or they're not even biblically saints of God by their fruit, and they're out trying to preach to the world or Muslims or whoever, and they do it wrong. They have a lot of sin, they have a lot of false doctrine, and it really defames God's holy name. And Muslims, they're not dumb people. They see the hypocrisy, the sin of churchianity and cultural Christianity. They don't fall for it. So a good witness with the biblical gospel goes a long way with many of these people, as it does with other people groups as well. Number two, study up on the Muslim faith. Going back to number one, I should say, test yourself at thegospel@don'tperish.com. I'll cover it briefly here, but make sure you truly are born of God by the gospel, not you accepted Jesus, you raised your hand, you just got baptized. Are you a converted, true, holy saint of God? Study to be approved and called to go preach the gospel. Test yourself. So number two, study up on the Muslim faith. You know, if you're going to encounter some of them, know some facts, key facts about them. You don't have to know everything about their faith to understand their beliefs. You know, in short, many people will say that Allah is Satan. Now, many people have said that. Study up on all this and you can get a lot of facts and get a lot of information. Basically, to do it in a nutshell here, they're not a biblical faith. They definitely are of the enemy, Satan. They're a total works-based faith, and they hope to gain eternal life based on their own merits one day before God. Yeah, that's what their hope is. They don't have a savior, okay? And this is why I said focus on who is Jesus. We want them to come to the truth by the perfect work of Christ and the fruit that he produces in us as we follow and obey him in a covenant. That's the path to eternal life. And so knowing some things about the Muslims, where did it start? Who was their prophet? You know, some of the basics of what they believe. It's easy to find that out. And just know some things that will help you to understand these people and their mindsets. Number three, as with anybody you're witnessing to, you always want to preach the biblical gospel, like I just talked about. Faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance means repenting of the world, your flesh, man-made religion, the Muslim faith, the Catholic faith, whatever unbiblical faith you're part of. Repentance to new life. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. And then the fruit that you're born of God is holiness and obedience to obey the scriptures that we're talking about. And you endure in all of that to the end. That's the path to eternal life. Not church attendance, not just water dipped, not just raising your hand, not just thinking you're better than your neighbor. That's our foundation. And when you're witnessing, no matter if you're witnessing to a Muslim, a Catholic, a Mormon, an unbeliever, an atheist, whatever, never go far from the aspects of the gospel I just preached to you. And that will always rescue you from any situation you get in. You can answer any question based on faith in Christ, based on repentance, based on new life, based on holiness and obedience, and based on endurance. You can answer just about any question. I know I've been able to do that, street preaching, by never getting far from the gospel. And sometimes you don't need to answer their question. You need to go back to the gospel and say, that question doesn't matter until we have the gospel rightly understood. So never go far from the gospel, even when you're witnessing to Muslims. And this will help you a lot. Number four, focus on the blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. This is a key that Muslims have to grasp. They have to get to this place to repent of their false ways and grasp this to even see their need for Christ. Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So it takes a shedding of blood for forgiveness. They need to be told what Christ did when we talk about the gospel so they can deal with it. And then the Holy Spirit can convict them and they can act upon it. Number five, the evidence of the Holy Word of God, the Bible, over Islam is huge. And again, study on this if you're going to witness to Muslims. The Quran is one book from one writer done over a few decades with not a lot of evidence behind it. The Bible, 66 books over several thousand years, over 40 authors, massive amount of miracles and predictions, many, many proofs of its claims historically, many, many manuscripts, 24,000 back up the New Testament. And so know these facts and use it to back up why we believe in God's word. Because if you can't believe in God's word, with over 24 manuscripts for the New Testament alone, you can't believe in anything man's ever written. So know the evidence for the truth of God's word over the Quran, and that may come in handy when you're witnessing to a Muslim. Number six, it's wise to always note to them that Islam came along many centuries after Jesus lived on earth. Some of them know that. Most of them know that. Many Americans don't even know that. They've copied many biblical ways, such as the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll hear them talk about that because they believe in the Old Testament. Other things like tunics on men. Yeah, some of the Muslims in other countries still do that, and that's biblical. And head coverings for women. Men come up to me and say, I'm a Muslim because I make my wife wear a head covering like a Muslim. And I said, did you know that Paul ordained through God head covering hundreds, many hundreds of years before Muhammad ever walked the face of the earth? Most people don't know that. So the Muslim faith takes, I call it rips off, but takes a lot of truth from God, and they infused it into their false faith. Again, it came along long before Muhammad, their prophet. All right. So when it comes to my witnessing, with my wife being biblically dressed and head covered, and I wear a tunic-like garment, we're not like the world. We're not. They can see that we're not worldly and carnal. To a lot of Muslims, they respect that. They may not even follow it. They may look worldly, but you know what? They know of their heritage, and they know what their faith teaches, and it actually is correct with head covering for women, even though many of them don't do it biblically, and a tunic-like garment for men. So that's helped me in my witnessing. And in fact, many people have said to me, hey, are you a Muslim? Because there's not many guys wearing a tunic-like garment with a big beard like I have. And that's opened the door for a lot of witnessing. So I'm thankful for that. Last point, most important, number seven. Here's where it gets specific, more specific for the Muslims. Muslims do in fact believe in Jesus, but not in a biblical way. And when you study your research about them, you're going to see that. To reach the Muslim for eternity's sake, we have to get them to see who Christ is, repent of their view of Jesus, and get them to see the need for this Savior, all right? To them, Jesus was nothing but a great prophet, not God, and certainly not God's son. See, here's a key point. Islam teaches that God has no son. Let me read a verse to you. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So per scripture, Muslims really are an Antichrist type of faith. And so you have to remember this. They see Jesus as a great prophet and nothing more. So here's the key. I've covered a whole bunch of things for you. What I have found, if a Muslim will listen and they're, you know, being amicable and talking, is we pose some questions to them that get them to think and dig deeper, maybe in their own time when they walk away. And here's how I do it. So what I'll say to a Muslim oftentimes is I'll say, who is Jesus? And every single one of them has said to me, oh, he's a great prophet. And I say, really? And I say, was Jesus a liar? And they look at me kind of puzzled and they say, oh, no, 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 poor Muhammad, Jesus was a great prophet. And then I ask them, does God have a son? And right away you can see a little bit of angst in them because I think they, if they've been witnessed to or read the Bible by someone that knows how to witness to Muslims, they know that they're forced to between a rock and a hard place because the Quran says God has no son. But I will prove to you right here, as you well know, that the Bible says Jesus is the Son of God. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So they are caught between the Quran and Muhammad and Jesus and the New Testament words. They say he's not the Son of God. Jesus says he is the Son of God. They say he's a great prophet, not a liar. Jesus says he's the Son of God. They say there's no Son of God. Do you see the quandary that I give to a Muslim? And they have to go back and go, well, what? Something's wrong here. Either Jesus is a liar or the Muslim faith is lying to me. Yeah, so these are the questions we're going to pose to them. Again, I'll ask a question, basically leading them down a rabbit trail, but it's one in love to try to get them to come to the truth. And I ask them about the Son of God, all right? And they won't answer it. They get confused. Many of them, you know, when you answer that, ask them that, I've never had one answer it and give any kind of good answer. The next question I'll answer them, I'll ask them, because they'll say, oh no, you don't need Jesus. Jesus is not the way to God. You need just to go through Allah, and you don't need Jesus. He was just a prophet. So I ask them, is Jesus a liar? And they say, well, no, I told you he's not a liar. And I said, have you ever read John 14, 6 through 7? Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And once again, I pose the question, if Jesus is a great prophet, not a liar, why does he say he's the only way? Yet Muhammad and the Quran says he's not the way. It puts them, again, between a rock and a hard place, their faith that they've been handed versus the truth of God and who Jesus really is. And about this point, they really get nervous because they realize they don't have any answers. They can't contend against that. And so what we're doing, lovingly, is we're using God's word as our sword, double-edged sword, right? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we're lovingly using the sword like a surgeon. We're going in and cutting away at what needs to be cut out. What needs to be cut out is their false view of Jesus, their antichrist. They need to see Jesus as God, the Son of God, the Savior that they have to come through because of the gospel and his shed blood. So most Muslims will scratch their head at that point, and they'll want to end the conversation. Make sure you give them a gospel card, maybe contact info to help you, help them reach you, and maybe a Bible if they'll take one, and send them on their way for the Holy Spirit to convict them. I believe that's far more biblical and meaningful than all of these false signs and wonders they say are happening that creates false converts of Muslims. So consider those questions to offer to them to get them to think about this in their own time. Now, I have had some Muslims say to me, well, the Bible's been corrupted. And I say, really? And then I say, I have a question. Have you studied the Bible's authenticity? Most of them have not. And I begin to talk about the 24,000 ancient manuscripts that back it up, and we can read right up to today. It's accurate beyond other than some punctuation or a few things here and there. Doctrine doesn't change. The Word of God is rock solid in all of mankind's history. And if we can't believe the Bible, we can believe nothing, because nothing comes even close. And then I ask them, what's the proof of the Quran? And again, they get nervous and they look at you because they don't know. They've never looked at it because there is no real good solid proof of the Quran versus the Word of God, because it's a fake book from the darkness of the evil one. And so they get more nervous and they're going to end the conversation quickly because they don't have an answer. But the purpose has been meaningful here, because we're trying to poke away the lies and the deception and get them to consider it. Okay, to get them to consider what you're trying to say to them. So unless they have more questions, I usually will leave it there. I'll declare Jesus is God. You must repent and come to him via the gospel that I preach you. What's on my card? He's the Son of God. He's the only way. I love you. Repent and follow him. And I encourage them to then go study it on their own. And I'm here to help them. And again, they get a gospel card. They get my contact info. If they'll take a Bible, I ask them, will you read it? Then I'll give them a Bible. Some of them are interested. Some of them go, no, I won't read it. Okay, you can look it up online if you change your mind later. Look for a good translation like a King James and go read the Bible. So again, all done in love and respect. And we tell them the truth. Now, here's one thing I've seen. There's so many people out there that are preaching a watered-down, milquetoast gospel. They're afraid to offend anyone. They don't want to tell people you're on the road to hell. They don't want to tell people you need to repent of your worldliness, your wickedness, your false religion, your Catholicism, your Baptist, your Lutheran, whatever. Same with Muslims. People are afraid to offend a Muslim. Well, you know what? You're never going to reach them if they don't get offended by the truth of God first. Because the Bible says the truth of God is an offense. And we must reach them with the truth and be more concerned about their eternal soul than their human feelings. Oh, we do it in love, right? Like Paul said in Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy because I preach the truth? If you don't preach the truth to people, to tell them their real fate without Christ and holiness and obedience via the gospel, you don't love them. You're fooling yourself. Let's read this verse. 1 Peter 2:7-8, talking about what the gospel does. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made of the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So Peter's talking about, hey, if you don't want to believe the word of God, it is a stumbling block. You're going to fall all over yourself. Eventually, like it says in the Old Testament, the truth of God's a hammer on a rock. It's going to crush you. And so Muslims have a choice, like everyone else. Choose your own way. Choose what you've always been taught. Choose your traditions, or choose God's narrow road. And they're either going to be offended by it and hate it and run from it, or they're going to be drawn to it by conviction of the Holy Spirit. Our only job is to put the truth in front of them, offend them with the word of God, which means tell them the truth. I've witnessed to quite a few Muslims, and I've had very few get really offended. I've had many of them say to me, thank you for telling me the truth. Thank you for loving me, because I do it lovingly, and I try to get them to come to themselves so they can come to repentance. And lastly, be careful when you witness to Muslims. There are radical ones. There are angry ones. You know, the really devout Muslims, as you well know in these other countries, if they followed the Quran the way they're supposed to, they're supposed to kill you and cut your head off, and me. So just keep that in mind. We don't have a lot of that in America, but you can get angry Muslims. They could accost you. And so be very careful and be led by the Spirit. It's not a safe place out in the streets preaching the gospel. It gets even worse if you're dealing with a drug addict, a drunkard, occult people, or maybe even a Muslim. So that's it. I believe it's that simple, right? The gospel of Christ, the simplicity of Christ. Preach the gospel, give them the biblical evidence, chip it away at who Jesus really is versus Islam, and then send them on their way, again, with the offer of help if they want it, and pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them to hear those words, to see the truth, to repent and come to the knowledge of Christ. That's going to cost them everything, right? They're going to lose their family probably. They're going to become an infidel when they start following after Christ. But Jesus said that's what it takes to follow him, to lose everything. By the way, I should have thrown that in there. I'll often tell a Muslim, to follow Christ means you must sacrifice and lose everything. They'll appreciate that because the Quran, if followed literally, is a radical call to faith. And so they'll appreciate if you tell them that and they go, oh, you're just not a Sunday churchgoer. This has changed your life and you're an enemy of the culture now and you're hated by many and you've come out. Yes, we've come out of all that. And they tend to respect that. So that's another thing I'd like to tell them. The other thing to remember in witnessing to them, last point I guess I got here, is one advantage we do have with the Muslims is they do have a respect for the Old Testament. So we can also, if you want to go deeper in your witnessing, we can use the Old Testament to paint a picture of who Christ is. So if I witness to a Muslim and he said, yes, yes, I want to go and know more, I would take him into the Old Testament and begin to show him who Christ was, all the archetypes, all the foreshadowing, show him that Abraham was pointing to Christ, and the sacrifice are pointing to Christ, and the Sabbath is pointing to Christ. And that would be very meaningful to them because they honor the Old Testament Torah writings in that way. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So I hope that helps you in your life, your ministry, your walk, whatever you do, to reach out to Muslims. Do it in boldness, not in fear. Use wisdom. Be led by the Spirit. Preparation is always good, right? Study to be approved, the Bible says. And so be prepared, whether it's you're in an area where there's lots of Catholics, Mormons, Muslims, atheists, study up and be prepared who you might run into, and that causes you to be very well-rounded in your knowledge if you can use good apologetics, defending the faith against all of these false ways. So that's what I have for you. Go to the teaching blog from don'tperish.com. Look under Islam. I've got an article on Islam. And then also, you will see in that article a link to a video of me witnessing. It's not the whole thing of me witnessing to him, but it was part of it. At the 2020 Super Bowl down in, I think it was Miami, Florida, a Muslim man came up and said, "Can I interview you?" And I don't know what he did with it, but he kind of recorded our conversation. He was very kind, very nice, and we had an interesting conversation. It ended well, and you can watch the video there, and that will encourage you. So I hope this has helped you. Let me know if I can help you in your faith life. Let me know if I can help you witnessing to Muslims or anyone else. Don't Perish has lots of resources for you, thousands. And we do it because we love God, we love our neighbor. We want the gospel to go out in these dark days, because without it, people are lost in their sin. We want to lift up Christ's name, to glorify Him, and to love our neighbor. So, thanks for listening. Till next time, the Lord lets me come to you again with more truth and wisdom from His Word. I got nothing. It's all from His Word. We love you all. May God be praised.